I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, guys, we're back. This is the Victor Cruz Show, and I am your host, Victor Cruz. We have, you know, PRs here.
Yes, sir.
I think Ronnie kind of gave him the address because I texted Ronnie because Ronnie Feig is our guest today, friend of the show, family, our brother. And I gave him the address, and I think he shot it over to PR. That's why he's here.
Just happy to have some additional talent up here along with me. Get lonely up here.
I'm not going to entertain that. Ronnie, what's up, brother? What's good?
Everything is good, my G. Everything is good. Good to be in a room with you guys. It's been a minute. Mm-hmm. We've all been very busy. You've been very busy.
1,000%.
Looking jacked as usual.
I'm just trying to work
me,
out.
Who you, oh, you were talking about.
Yeah. No, I meant you.
Me.
Oh,
okay. Me, PR.
Four chin-ups this week, B.
And it shows.
Gets up.
And it shows.
Yo, it's only right that Ronnie's our first guest. You're our first guest on Uninterrupted.
Talk about
and
it.
And honestly, it might be the only reason they let us have a second episode.
1,000%.
That can keep it.
We're like, look, guys,
keep it rolling for you guys.
We got Ronnie coming in. We need another. Open up the budget for us one more time.
Vic, since it's your show, before we get into, you know, the Ronnie conversation in great detail, all the questions we have for him, what's up with you? I see recently you posted a video on Uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. Making an announcement of sorts, which I didn't think need to be made, but apparently it needed to be made.
I just felt a certain way. Okay. I don't know if you saw RF, but I just felt a certain way, and I was getting comments on my Instagram and on my Twitter, retire giant. When are you retiring? Don't go to... And I'm like, let me get this right. I was outside of my work. I was feeling good, and I was like, I'm not retiring. I'm not going nowhere. This isn't a retirement party. This isn't me leaving and going away and going to act or whatever you think I'm going to move on to do. I'm going to do all those things, but I'm a football player first right now. And then my trainer just happened to be walking up. Perfect timing. It makes for great visual footage. And then he walked up and I was like, Sean, they talk about retiring. He was like, retiring?
You couldn't have planned that any better.
It was perfect.
You know what it is? People out there, when it's time for somebody to make a decision of some sorts, you know, they automatically assume that your life is a reality show. Mm-hmm. They want to be kept in the know, you know, and just because you're, you know, a football player and a star, like they want to be involved and know what your life is like, you know, behind the curtains. But sometimes it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Those decisions need to be made, you know, without any interference, and I know you're playing, and I know you're gonna kill it. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait to see where you end up. You know, it hurts obviously that you're not going to be a giant, but at this point, I'm going to be a fan of wherever you end up.
Appreciate that, man. That's love. That's love.
RF, for anyone that's been living under a rock and doesn't know who you are.
We're not doing that again.
Doesn't know what it is you do.
Okay.
What's the short version? Who is Ronnie Feig? It's a loaded question to start
the show. Super loaded.
Google.
Google me, dog.
Nah, I'm a kid from Queens. Kith, founder of Kith, New York. One of the better stores, I'd like to think, one of the better stores in the country. And we provide the fresh footwear, apparel, accessories, all that. And Kith is a retailer and a brand. And been doing it since 2011, about to be the 6-year anniversary in August. And that's about it. We opened a store in Miami, so we're open in Soho, Brooklyn, Bergdorf Goodman, Miami.
Talk about it.
You know, we were open in Aspen, obviously. Okay. And then we're going to open up a few more spots.
What's next? What's the next spot? So I can plan my, you know, I got to plan my schedule. I got to write it down. So if anybody knows Ron, you have to plan these things in advance. He tells you, and then you got to make sure your schedule is free and you can make it happen.
I'm just like, yo, Tahiti, November. Write that shit down. No,
no. And you ask no questions. No questions. Tell my assistant, Tahiti, November. Yep. Write that down.
Write it down. Yeah. Listen. Check my frequent flyer miles immediately.
It's been a fun ride, man. It's been a fun ride. We obviously get together. All of us get together, and you know how much I love spending time with my friends. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I'd plan to go and take Kith, whether it's Paris or Tokyo or Brazil or Miami or LA, I like to bring my friends and family of the brand with me. And that's actually how the ideas start. And then we end up, you know, just being together in a city. We take over the city. Many cities have been victims.
That's true.
We just show up. Unannounced,
pillage the village.
Aspen, we here now, you know. And it's you know, we hit the mountains, and even though we can't ski moguls, we just, you know, we stick out like a sore thumb, but in a good way.
I love that, man. My favorite part about Ronnie and the entire Kith movement since I met him has always been about friendships. It's always been about advancing his friendships and his ties with people. And you know, he brought me to Tokyo. I would have not never, but I wouldn't have gone in a timely manner if Ronnie didn't set this up for us to go and mm-hmm. enjoy ourselves and make it happen. You know what I mean? Like, I've been places around the world that I've never been because of Ronnie. My first time in Paris was because of Ronnie. Like, this is like certain things, certain landmark opportunities that you get yeah. in your life. And Ronnie Feig has provided those things, not just for myself, but many of his friends and people that he calls friends. So
but that's
always a beautiful thing.
That's my favorite shit, honestly. That's mm-hmm. that's what I love to do. I love to be in different cities with my people and also put out product that's inspired by that city, that we just roll up on the city wearing all this product that we created for it. So it's like, you know, those are my favorite times, honestly. And they're put together, those collections are put together for the purpose of us showing up, you know. So last year was Aspen. This summer there will be another similar experiential moment,
okay,
like Aspen, and then next year, we're already working on what's coming next year. And then obviously on the shop side, there's gonna be some new shit that's gonna pop up, something big coming soon. I can't, you know, that's what's gonna suck about this show. I can't really talk about it on the air, but once
can you
we
talk
off,
about anything? Can you give us something? What's the next project that you can give us? That's you know?
The next big moment will be. Will be what we do from an experiential factor, like okay. what we did in Aspen. And it's gonna be summertime. It's gonna be after my wedding.
Shout out to Sheer. What
that's
up,
gonna
Sheer?
Be a moment too. Shit, oh, I God. Basically my wedding is like
his my, wedding is
nah, yeah.
Is
hold up a yeah. second. Let's talk about this. Hold up a second. Right?
Here it goes.
Because Ronnie tells us, yo, I'm gonna be sending y'all wedding dates soon. Do you remember this on the group text?
Absolutely. I'm like, bet. I'll lock it in. You know, 3 days.
Right. And Ronnie sends the dates out.
I got beef with Vic about this. I got beef with Vic.
And I think my stop response me, was, what the fuck is this? I don't want to say like the dates his wedding is, but how long is his wedding?
It's at least, if I carry, 42 days. Okay. 42 days.
Ronnie's getting married for 42 days, yo.
I got to bring my daughter. I'm going to be away from her for a while. I got to make this a thing. 42 day wedding.
I mean, don't get it confused. I said I was in immediately because I knew yeah. it was going to be an experience, man.
Do we have a choice, bro?
No.
No choice.
These were the dates. You no said choice. You got beef with Vic.
Man.
Let's get right into it.
Oh, man. All right, let's do it. Let's do it. So Vic is my best man.
Yep.
Right? Let's start there. And I sent him all the information, and obviously, you know, the wedding is going to be in Israel. We could let everybody know that. The shit ain't a pop-up. We could talk about it. The wedding is in Israel, and then after that, we're going to go to Mykonos. And I handed Bree, you know.
It's Bree's fault, in all fairness. Uh-huh. It's her wow. fault.
Yeah, I know Bree's going to listen to this. And wow. I'm, you know, and I handed her all the information. Like, look, here's everything.
When was this, Ronnie? How long ago was this? Ballpark.
This was months ago.
I just want to get the details.
What are we
fire,
doing?
Yo, P, the fire's right there if you want to throw some gasoline in it real quick. Yo, and it was months ago, you know, and it's all good. Listen, you're going to experience Tel Aviv the way I want you to experience Tel Aviv. You're staying at the Norman, the best hotel there. And after that, we go to Mykonos. And I tried to get everybody to stay at the same hotel.
By the way, I just got that PJ information from Israel to Mykonos.
Did you see that?
Shout out to Stacy with the email out there.
Thank you, Stacy.
Big budget.
Making that happen.
Huge budgets.
Big budget.
And, you know, that's going to be, there was no direct flight from Tel Aviv to Mykonos.
So you charter an entire...
Making us stop in Athens.
How many people fit on that plane that we just charged? Is this a Stacy question?
That might be a Stacy question. Okay. She's right there. I mean, she can throw up numbers. How many people fit on the flight, though?
100?
We're bringing 20, but how many fit on there?
120 fit on the plane, but we're only bringing 20? Oh, my God. Yo, for real?
It's disrespectful. it's disrespectful. I'm not great at math, so I was using my fingers. I'm like 25.
Carry that. 26, carry that. One.
Four. Yeah. That's a lot of pee. It's a big plane.
Listen, man.
It's different. All right, look, let me ask you this. There's something... And you've touched on it, and Vic's touched on it. You know, you travel around the world, some of the dopest places, doing some of the dopest things, whether it be, you know, Kith specific or you know, partnerships with other brands. And you always make sure you bring your friends with you, right? Which I think is dope within itself, but I think it's also so authentic to the brand. I don't know if a lot of people even know what Kith stands for.
That's a good point. Kith is part of the phrase Kith and Kin, which means friends and family. And I believe that my friends are my family, so I got rid of the kin portion, and that's what Kith means, friends. And
you were going to name the store Kin and Kith at first, right?
Kith and Kin. At first, it was going to be Kith and Kin, but I was like, you know what? My friends all have supported me, you know, throughout my life, so I felt like, you know, it was enough to have my friends really make the impact that I wanted for the brand, and it obviously has happened. So it's like, yeah, bringing my friends with me is part of the like brand mentality, and you know it's like I want to work hard for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And like if I'm gonna work as hard as I do, and sacrifice time to do shit normal people do, like when they get home from work and on the weekends and yada yada, it's like, you know, I want to be able to share it with my friends. You know what I'm saying? And like share the good times, share the times abroad, or the times I'm able to put something together where we could celebrate it. And, you know, celebrating the wins is most important, you know?
Absolutely.
Otherwise, what do we do it for?
Nothing else. I'm all about winning.
You got to celebrate with a ring.
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying? You get to wear the ring. What do I get to wear?
You got to have that parade, YG.
The parade.
And your parade might come in different forms, but you got to have that parade. With every win, with every large victory, with every Super Bowl chip.
Talk that talk, champ.
Gotta have that parade. You gotta see that confetti coming down from the people's windows. I remember a lady, literally, she was on the brink of death. During the Super Bowl parade, on the brink of death, I happened to look, because you see toilet paper, like there's all types of stuff at this ticket taker parade. And I look up and there's a lady, half her body, at least a 62nd floor of some building, half of her body out, throwing toilet tissue. And I'm like, lady, you're one of the 100 people. It's that important for you to throw your piece of paper outside of this building that you're on the brink of death. Jeez. But it's all for the Giants. It's all because of that Super Bowl.
You know what the crazy shit is? She's probably listening to this show right now.
1,000%.
Like, that was me! Assuming she's alive still.
Hopefully. But switching gears a little bit, I want to talk music. Because I'm going there. Okay, let's do it. We have this the conversation we've had numerous times has lived outside of this podcast. It's lived in our group chat extensively, for lack of better terms. It's the Drake Kendrick conversation, but I just don't want to have that conversation.
Okay.
I want to have just a music conversation overall. RF, what are you into right now? What are you listening to? I know you went through a Noriega period.
Yeah,
I know you went go through phases. So where you at now?
I'm at Nas right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
keeping it Queens as usual.
Discography.
You know what I was listening to today in the office? It just came on a shuffle. I Am.
Oh my God! What a fucking classic that is.
That's a banger.
That's his third. I'm always back and forth with this shit depending on what album I'm listening to at the time. But like, I throw an album on and this is what I do. So I got Sonos at the crib. Then I got the whip on the way to work, and then I get to work, and I got Sonos in the office.
You got this planned out. You got one for the...
The way that it works, check it. It's like I pick an album, and it's playing at all spots. On repeat for the week.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Right? So right now, it was written. right? And I just started Nas, actually. And before this, it was Big. And basically, I switch up as soon as I could finish up like all the albums, mm-hmm. and then I switch up to the next artist. So right now, I'm at Nas. And for me, It Was Written was his best album. So that shit's playing in everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I gotta tell you, man, it's like, I feel, you know, it makes me upset that the younger generation can't experience what I did.
Talk about it.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that they feel the same way either about me or about the next generation. But it's like, you know, it's the same thing that happened to hip hop when Outkast came in, mm-hmm. you know? And we heard that sound, and it was like, do we embrace this or not?
Mm-hmm. Is this even hip hop? Like, yeah, what is
exactly?
This,
you know, you heard "Hey Ya" for the first time, and it was like, what is this?
But we knew it was special.
Exactly,
I can say that.
That's true.
When the exactly. first time I heard Lil Yachty,
yeah.
I didn't say, "Hey, this is special." I can say that.
That's
no disrespect.
That's
no shade.
One less guest we'll have on the Victor Cruz show. Clearly,
no disrespect.
I just come from a different era of hip hop.
That's what I'm saying. And for the younger kid, Lil Yachty might be my Nas. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like, the thing is, for me, it's like the substance that you hear when you listen to OG Nas albums.
He painted that picture so well.
That's what I'm saying. And it's really hard for me. It's so hard for me to connect with some of the newer, you know, with some of the newer hip hop that's coming out right mm-hmm. now. Kendrick, I will say this though, before we dip
Here
into
we
the
go.
Hold on.
Here
listen,
we
listen.
Go.
Before we dip into the Kendrick situation.
And we're
not
off.
Not situation, conversation, I should say. Not situation, conversation. The Kendrick conversation, Kendrick and Drake. I will say that Kendrick is a very dope lyricist, you know? And, you know, the thing for me, personally, like, it's hard for me to listen to a full Kendrick album. It's just hard for me to listen to the full album because something about the tone is just, you know, and he's a West Coast rapper, and I've always loved East Coast rap, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's a very unique album. His first album was one of my favorite albums. It's definitely a classic. I would say top 15, top 20 maybe.
He brought you through his entire youth.
That's the thing.
But the thing is, he was changing his voice and using inflections right. and all that then too.
Yeah, but he had Dre production on there, man. Valid and point. Dre, I feel like Dre's coaching through the first album was different.
That was the game changer. I looked on his, you know, how you open up
right,
the...
of course.
I didn't see not one Dr. Dre beat on there. I was like, why?
I always wonder that. I always wonder that. Like, how is Dre? And he's a second artist that I'd say this for because The Game also first album to
crazy,
me, and not
crazy.
to many.
That's a great point.
Not to many, but to me, yo, the documentary to me was a classic.
Crazy album.
One of the best produced albums of all time, in my opinion.
100%.
One of the best
top
produced
to bottom.
Albums, and he had Ye on there too. I mean, it was a crazy. And he had Blaze on there, and it was a crazy album.
It was a crazy album.
Yo, that album was really crazy. And The Game might be one of the artists, you know, making me think about it. The Game might be one of the artists that I switch to next, because he got.
Yeah, but let's be clear. Yeah. After that second album, it's downhill for you, man.
I mean,
that one album that's very underrated by Game is the Jesus Peace joint.
Yeah.
He had a Kanye record on there too.
Yep, that album was crazy.
But people were already off Game at that point, I feel like. No one gave him that recognition.
Regardless, that first album, and that's why I'll always respect him, and the same for Kendrick. And I like this album, mm-hmm. but I cannot listen to more than two or three tracks at a time.
Gotcha.
But that's a personal thing. It's not like I'm saying, like, you know,
of course, my
opinion for this, I know that especially with music, and because I just learned to understand this from... also, you know, product, the way I buy product for the store, I'm not only going to buy for the shop what I love. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I know that people respect things in different ways, and I respect that, mm-hmm. you know, heavily. So, you know,
I know that's hard. That's hard to do.
Yeah,
because
it is. Because
you don't love something, you have right. to, you know, your consumer, yeah. and you know your consumer would love it.
And I feel like, you know, getting back, this is an important point also. Like, mm-hmm. when I was younger, I always felt like my opinion was most valid. You know, and like tried to put my opinion on others, or like try to, like, you know, convince people of certain things the way I felt about certain things. Just try to, like, convince people all the time of, like, things that I liked or things that I thought was best or whatever. And what I learned was, and this is like as you get older, and especially when you have your own business, I've learned that like you have to respect other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like I think that the humble RF is like as humble as I've ever been at this point, where it's like, yo, like people like Lil Yachty, Uzi Vert, Trav, like, and the truth is, and I had a 5-hour flight, I had a 5-hour flight with Andre 3000 on the way to Vegas, not too long ago, and that was in February. And
man, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for that one.
Man, and it was one of the best conversations I've ever had. You know, and what he was
musically like, y'all talking music.
Oh, he talked about everything.
We spoke mostly about music and mm-hmm. product and mm-hmm. just to see where his head was at. And like the way he explained it to me is like, this is a different sound. You know, like this kid, the kid today, you know, and respect to the kid. I'm turning 35, but the younger kid, like I have nephews. I'm in touch with the youth culture, and like what they're hearing right now is their is what we heard in the 90s.
So sad.
And the older hold on. And what
saddened.
And listen, what the kids back then, like the OGs were like, yo, this isn't hip hop, because they were used to the old school, you know, to the old school era, and they were hearing like even Big J, Nas, and they were like, yo, this isn't rap.
But
you know,
but they were rapping though. Yeah, but it's not like these kids are murmuring words putting them together.
That's their form of rap. These kids though, like mumble rap's a category now.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I wouldn't say
disheartening. It's saddening.
Yeah, but you know what? But the substance.
You sound like get off my front lawn right now. That's what you sound but like,
Vic. The substance in the music, isn't the lyrics anymore. The substance is in the sound. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I understand it's taking me a lot, like it's hard to swallow, pause, but it's taken a lot for me to understand that is substance. You know what I'm saying? But when you're in a crowd, either in a festival or a concert, and you see the way these kids react to the sound, you know, and it's something that Virgil helps me understand too. It's like, yo, it's a different respect. They're liking it for different reasons.
It's true. And I'm not going to front. You know? I say these things about Yachty and Uzi lyrically, but I bounce to it in the club. Let's be clear about that. Let's get that clear now. There
you go. And that's the purpose, though.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's the purpose. But
I
then
guess
you,
so.
But then
Mosh
you have,
pit rap.
Yeah, but then you have Joey Badass.
I love shout out to Joey. And he's actually talking about something that's relevant in today.
Joey,
and it's cool.
Joey's album is really good, man.
It's so good.
Joey and
Joey Buttons?
No, Joey Badass.
Badass, got it. Okay, cool.
Don't do this. Hold on. All right. So Joey Badass and then you have
Joe's from Jersey, by the way.
You have Kendrick. You have J. Cole. Right? So you still have like these rappers, these young rappers that are really spitting, and like to me, you know,
I need more.
And I know.
I more.
Yo, dude, it's to me. I'm stuck in the. I'm still in the '90s, man. Heavy. I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to any. I don't really listen to anything new. So I can't even give you my opinion.
So let me ask
but
you this,
know
then,
about
Ronnie,
it. You see it.
But I've been in a spaceship. We won't say what it is you're driving these days, but I've been in a new spaceship. And let's just say I know no one has CDs anymore, but let's just say you have 5 CDs shuffling in the whip.
Here
what
we
are you
go
listening to
the,
right now?
Here
what
we
are you,
go.
What are those 5 artists or albums?
So More Life is in there. Okay.
As it should be.
I mean, yo.
As it should be.
Yo, it's a
but it's a playlist. It's a playlist, right?
Here we go.
It's just Drake's playlist.
All right.
On
the group chat with PR and Vic, PR has mentioned that.
Hold on, RF. Hold on.
Let the guest speak. What's
he
the problem?
Did not mention. He tried to discredit Drake's body of work compared to Kendrick's, because I was making the comparison in the group chat. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, Drake said it's just a playlist.
How'd I say it, though?
Drake said it's just a... So my thing is like, so should we not hold it up there in music history and compare it to the same time as another juggernaut drop?
You know,
should we not compare it in that way because it's a playlist?
We're going to get to that in a second.
Hold on.
I have a very strong point of view. I want to hear the 5
All right.
Go ahead, More Life.
Projects you're listening to in the whip right now.
Okay, so I'll give you
I'm
the best.
I'm going to get back to that too, by the way.
I'll give you my 5.
I've been waiting.
I'll give you the 5 the five albums that I would play. But before I do that, I'm going to give you guys, and this is an RF exclusive right here.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to give you guys a gem.
Talk to me.
The Noriega Pandora radio station.
Oh, I'm all over it.
I put you on that a long time ago, but we're going to give them to the radio
now.
No,
it's for real. It's serious.
What am I hearing when I put that in?
Oh, my God.
What am I hearing?
Oh, my God, bro. You're hearing 95 to 99 all New York City
hip-hop. You know what you're hearing, Pete? You're hearing Ronnie Fieg walking to school in a Coogi sweater.
Yes. Yes.
And baggy jeans.
Yes.
And a pair of Easter Air Force Ones on from back.
Don't forget the Avirex.
Stop.
Don't forget the Avirex, B.
The butter lever.
Don't forget the Trezetta boots. All right? Don't forget the Trezetta boots. Yes, but that's honestly, the Noriega playlist is, you know, that was the 90s, and you were big on hip hop in that era.
Of course.
Obviously. And like, I'm telling you, New York City rap, I mean, it was just a feeling. You know, music, I always said this, music and food are the two things that can bring you back and make you feel how you felt when you heard things for the first time. You know, like, I'll never forget the first time I heard Capital Punishment.
Oh, my.
You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget the first time I heard, you know, the War Report. I'll never forget the first time I heard It Was Written. And still, till today, you hear a few tracks and it brings you back. And the same thing with food. Food does the same thing. So to me, those are the two things. So to answer your question, what's in the car right now? Like, what's on shuffle?
I think we haven't gotten past More Life, right?
Yeah, we haven't gotten past More Life. But obviously, I told you It Was Written is up there right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still have this playlist that I created for Ye. That's right now I'm playing that because we haven't heard Ye in a minute since Pablo, and I feel like he's been missing from the whip in a minute. And you know that shit gets you hyped.
Just a playlist of all of Ye?
Yeah, like best of Ye.
Okay,
yeah, there's a best of Ye there. And you know what I'm listening to right now, actually? I'm also listening to Dynasty.
Talk about it.
Okay.
That's the best intro of all time, by the way.
Yo, okay. The intro is
best intro of
fire.
All time.
No, but Dynasty is one that didn't get enough credit when it dropped. I mean, people were on it heavy. Parking Lot Pimpin' was a joint. I used
1-900 Hustler, though?
Oh, my God. Heavy, heavy.
That was different.
Because you know where I'm going right now. Then. Sorry to cut you off, Ronnie.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Here we go. He just looked at his nails.
No, I'm just going to ask a very simple, innocent question.
Okay.
For you, it's your show.
Okay.
For you, Ronnie, you're the guest. There's rumors floating around.
Okay.
That Hov's working on an album. It's just rumors. Are you checking for it? Are you checking? If that drops, are you stopping everything you're doing? Are you checking for this album?
I got this, RF. Let me take this first. This is my show. It's the Victor Cruz show. Absolutely. And any real rap fans should absolutely be checking for this because I think I heard a snippet.
Talk to us.
Okay. Small snippet. And it's Jay. Rephrase. It's Hov.
Okay.
It's not Jay. I heard it. I mean, everybody heard it, really. It was the same song Swizzy premiered on when he was going against Blaze.
The beat, right, the battle, right. Yeah.
And Hov, big homie, was talking that talk. Don't look at me like that. Y'all looking at me. Y'all looking at me.
Don't get it. Don't get it twisted.
I wish this was video. They looking at me like, yo.
Don't get it twisted. Vic, don't get it twisted. I am waiting. I'm waiting to hear Hov.
Talk
that
talk.
I'm waiting to hear Hov.
Oh, he's talking that talk, RF.
You know, here, and who was I speaking with the other day about this? Where Hov, I was actually with Travis Scott this past weekend in Miami. Shout to David Grubman. That's my fucking dude right there. But I was with Trav and we were talking about it. And we were talking about how, like, Watch the Throne Hov. Watch the Throne's a classic. Let's not get it twisted. But hearing him in collaboration with Ye, I felt brought the best out of Jay. And, you know, Magna Carta to me was not one of my favorite Jay albums.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I do know...
I can agree with that.
Okay. Hov is one of the best rappers of all time. Top two rappers of all time. Okay? Between Big and Jay. Nas used to be my second favorite, but I think Jay just took it because his body of work since, you know, since the 2000s have been very good, you know?
And they've been cultural change. Like, the cult, he brought the culture back in with it. It's one thing to just drop a joint and it just kind of goes, but people pay attention.
And I still listen to the Blueprint 3, you know? And that's, that's a great album. It's a great album. And that's when Jay got acquainted with the younger, you know, with the younger rappers that were out
here. Yeah, Kid Cudi.
He had Drake on there.
Drake should have had a verse on that record.
He had Ye on there. Yeah, I mean,
listen, this all sounds great, man. This trip down memory lane. Yeah.
But hold on, hold on.
If Hov drops an album tonight, are you checking?
Yeah, I already gave my answer.
Hey, yo, listen, first
you checking for it too?
Here's the thing. Honestly speaking, everybody is checking for it. The question is, are they going to listen to it the more second time around after they heard it? Like, right now, More Life dropped. There were so many different vibes
it's
on that.
Playlist.
There's so many different vibes on that album that it makes you want to listen to it again. What I'm saying? And like, you listen
I'm still
to
bumping it.
Yeah.
Still and learning new things. I hear something different
for
every
sure,
time.
For sure. And that Lose You record, man. That Lose You record is a problem.
We heard that in Aspen.
We heard that early.
Shout out to Mav.
Yes, Mav gave us the snippet. But yo, that album, to me, that album, and it's not, I don't think it's a playlist. I think it's an album.
Just going by what the man said. It's a playlist.
It's absolutely a playlist, though. Skepta has a whole 3-minute track.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's very much
a playlist.
It's music. It's a body of work. It's music. It's an album.
Yeah,
it's
no doubt. And I like that album. I like that album.
Where do you categorize it in your list of top Drake albums? Because we're all clear, Take Care is a classic album.
I mean, hold on a second. Hold on.
It's an R&B record, but it's
now it's an R&B record.
But
to
I do
me,
agree. It's very,
I've been
it's
saying,
one of his best albums.
Nah, Take Care is his best album.
It is. He's singing a lot on that album.
Yeah.
Why should he dumb it down? He's that talented. Why should he dumb it down and...
I want to hear you rap, Drake.
Okay.
And I think he gave us a lot of
that. Too.
Gave us a lot. Not better than Kendrick. I think he gave us a lot of that on More Life. He rapped a lot on that.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's
he
like
rapped
19
it.
Tracks
you know what?
On that
I
thing.
Won't say he rapped a lot. I'll say he rapped enough on it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I can give
you
that. He
gave you those club those club tracks that are just fucking phenomenal, man. Honestly,
phenomenal.
Passion Fruit is, I mean,
that's a banger.
Come on.
That's a banger.
Passion Fruit is one of those joints that are timeless, though. That's like, you'll hear that 3-4 years from now, and I don't know if he has had that kind of
One dance.
For sure. And the reggae joint. What's it called? Controller.
Controller.
Yo, Controller.
A lot of hits.
Yo, Drake got fucking.
A lot of
I
hits.
Mean,
bodies of work, though. That's
he's a hit
into.
Factory, man. Honestly, he's a hit factory. And.
No one has more hits. Yeah,
he has a hit. Yeah. He has a hit factory.
Yeah, Paul, you can play that back if you need to. No one has more hits.
1,000%. I never
argue
that.
Body of work.
Never argue with
excluding
that.
Excluding nobody.
Nobody has more hits.
I never argued that.
You know what? I haven't even thought of that. That's true.
Nobody. We're talking body of work. Nobody has more hits.
You still out here talking Summers, right? I know you heard that, right? Let's be clear, man.
I can't do this.
Let's be clear.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, but let me ask you something. One thing that's switching gears a little bit. One thing that is a common theme for you in anything you do, whether it's product, experiences, your retail stores. One thing you don't confuse is New York. I can know nothing about you and know you're from New York.
Yes, sir.
Talk a little bit, about what New York has and does still mean to you personally and from a career standpoint.
So that's a great point. I mean, New York is, so the Kith brand is built around New York culture. You know, it embodies all of New York. I grew up in New York. I was born in Queens. Still represent Queens. Somehow.
You were a LL Cool J fan?
I was. Sure. I mean, I still am. I'm not watching CSI.
That was the most lackluster. I was.
I mean, look. I was an LL Cool J fan.
It was a little before us, though.
Mama's Gonna Knock You Out. Yeah. That was the first rap record.
He's an OG. No disrespect to
that. That was the first rap record I was into. Mama's Gonna Knock You Out was the first rap record I was ever into. Right? And if my memory serves me correctly, that was before Wu-Tang dropped 36 Chambers, and that's what changed my life. Right? So, New York, Queens, Jamaica, you know, Fresh Meadows, Bayside, those are my territories right there. I still, you know, till this day, go and support, you know, the businesses there. Go and, you know, visit the high school, visit the coach, Ron Aclario.
What's that pizza spot? Cardoza. Shout out to that pizza spot.
VI Pizza, best pizza ever in America.
In Queens, maybe.
In America, VI Pizza, Bayside.
I haven't been there, so I'm gonna have to go with you, and then I'll
100%.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta go.
I'll make sure I take you there. Maybe I'll open a pop up in the pizzeria, do whatever, you know. So Queens to me was a big thing. I used to take. So here's the deal. I went to Cardoza High School in Bayside, but I worked the weekends at David Z in the city, and in the city back then, before social media, before the blogs. We're talking about 1995 to, let's say, 2000. It was all brown shoes and boots, and it was like Bear. You remember the Bear jackets, Bear AKU Gore-Tex boots, Trezettas.
So heavy and Patterson with those.
Ace Solos, Technicas. You know, it was Dolomites. Obviously, that was like, you know, that was the era that I grew up in. That was what I learned. That's how I learned to appreciate footwear. You know what I'm saying? And like, I was learning to appreciate footwear on some of the best made footwear we have ever seen. You know, made in Italy, all handmade, best leathers in the world. You know, so like, I was falling in love with product then. You know what I'm saying? And the New York culture back then, it was very Nubian. You know what I'm saying? We're shopping on 8th Street between 5th and 6th in the Village. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, Lauryn Hill, Wu-Tang, Nas, AZ, Fuji's heavy. You know, heavy. Lauryn Hill, when she spit that line, with some Gore-Tex and sweats, I make treks like I'm homeless. Mm-hmm. She bought those Gore-Tex boots for me. She bought a pair of Dolomites for me. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Talk about some of the people that came through David Z shopping for boots. Can we just have that slight discussion real quick? Give us some names that you saw.
Well, how about this? Give me a name, and I'll tell you if they did or didn't, because it would be harder for me to name everybody.
Raekwon.
Jay-Z every Saturday, by the way.
Wu-Tang.
Yeah, all
every
of them,
member.
Big.
Yes.
B.I.G.?
Yes, I got pictures. There's pictures, yeah.
That's crazy.
I
took
the picture. How old are you at this point?
14.
Wow.
The locks.
No, 15. I'm sorry. Hold on. 1995. I was 13. It was my third week working at David Z. I took a picture of Big in the store. I took the picture that's on the wall.
Yo, by the way, which is funny. Crazy. So recently, and Vic, you and I were at it. You did a speaker series at the Apple Store.
Yeah,
right. Which Jeff Staple, the homie, what up, Jeff? Moderated.
Yes, sir.
And you're showing all these pictures, and it's like all these icons. It's Hov. It's people you're mentioning. Hov.
Yeah. All in front of David Z and all.
Right.
That.
And Ronnie's like, you may be wondering where I'm at in these pictures. Where were you?
Behind the fucking camera, man. these older dudes, all the older dudes at David Z were like, yo, take this shot real quick. I'm like, yo, let me take the shot with you. They're like, nah, take the shot real quick.
Yo, selfies didn't exist back then.
Press the button on the right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let me ask. So you talked about New York, right? And no one can argue how many trends started in New York.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, back then, I wouldn't even know of a trend that started elsewhere.
Facts.
Back then, it was like 8th Street. Yo, I can't stress this enough. 8th Street between 5th and 6th was the block to be on in all of America. It was the most cultural, relevant block in the world, maybe. In the world, honestly. Because like every weekend, all of the artists, you'd see Jay, Puff, Mace, Nas, AZ,
Cam,
Missy Elliott, Cam. I mean, Cam was in there. Busta Rhymes back then, which the Dangerous album, let's not get it twisted.
Before the dreads, probably Busta. Before
no,
Dreads
Buster. Dreads Buster. Before the Fade Buster.
Okay, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Wu-Tang, Heavy, and Redman. I mean, everybody. You would have all those dudes on the block on the same day at the same time.
That's insane.
Walking on the block, and the block was a car show. All the cars were parked diagonally on 8th Street because they couldn't fit all the cars over there. And the cops would let it rock. All the bikers were coming in. And back then, that was a big thing. The bikes were a big thing.
Bike culture, mm-hmm.
The bike culture was big. You know, and Tyson Beckford, his Tommy bike rolled by 8th Street.
I had a vest, like a bike vest.
Oh, shit.
I didn't have a bike.
That's how big the culture was.
For real. Them Vanson jackets were crazy.
Oh, man. Yo, those days, that's what I grew up on. 1996, I think that's the year the Big died, right? Or 97. I think it was 97, right? The Big passed.
Yeah, 6-7, I think. Could check that.
The year that he died, Life After Death obviously came out right after Big died. And every car on the block was playing a different Life After Death track.
That's
and
crazy.
I would walk after work. I'd walk to the subway and hear every car playing a different song. And it was the most like, you know, and that's why to me, like the respect that Big was given in New York, it will never be compared to anything. I don't care what artist you name today.
Not even close.
It's the emotional connection that people had to Big back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he had the full city on his shoulders.
Even
you know?
At his funeral service. So many people were at his funeral
crazy.
Service?
Yeah,
this is what I'm saying to y'all.
He was like literally like royalty.
This is the rap that we grew up on.
Yes.
Real rappers that had influence and that people cared about and came out in droves.
Yeah, because they had something to say. They stood
they
for more
talking
than...
talking about
they
something.
Stood for, yeah.
And it was witty. It was smart. It was relevant.
Yeah.
And that, and now we get mumbling on a track with a hot beat and it saddens me.
Let me say, and it saddens me. let me ask both of you guys this. So, you know, and you guys are the perfect people, you know, in the world to ask this question to. Ronnie, you create a lot of the stuff that you know, is setting the tone for culture and trends. And Vic, you know, if you wear it, it automatically is, you know, sort of a trend and the it thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, without saying brands, like this brand's whack, this brand's dope, what are you seeing today, like, in culture in terms of trends? Like, what's trending? What's dope? What are you surprised about, maybe? Like, what right now is, like, the it shit?
Okay. So, first and foremost, I will always be a product person.
Okay.
So, like, if I see a product, if I touch and feel the product, and the product is well-made, and the product feels good, and I know it's constructed to the max. Like, that's the product that I respect most.
Even before look, you're going material, you're going feel, you're going
No. For me to feel something, I'd have to like.
Good.
Yeah, of
gotcha.
Course, of course. Like a girl at the bar, that's, like you see a girl, you won't approach her unless she looks good.
Exactly,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I love you, Sheer. Wouldn't do that, but yo, so. You're seeing this.
Shout out to Sheer.
Yo, don't fuck up this trip for me and Vic, man. Do not be selfish and mess up this trip for us.
So, what I'm saying is this. Like, for me, I'm like product first. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like there's actually a lot of great designers right now out there where the touch and feel is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you know that they're putting their effort into the things that matter most mm-hmm. when it comes to product, you know? So first and foremost, right now, I feel like Virgil is the best.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like a, to me, it's a...
But why?
And I'll tell you why. I feel like Virgil really understands product.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like, yo... Like you honestly won't see an off-white logo on something that doesn't feel right. Everybody's hung up on the branding. I'm hung up on the product, you know? So like when we worked on this project together that just released the off palette, not just released, like maybe a month and a half ago. If you look at that product, the fabric and then the application, like the chain stitch for all of the diagonals to be in that chain stitch. It's a lot of work, man. And it's like heavily, just like I think the labor that goes into making some of this product will never be known.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like,
mm-hmm.
And obviously you see this, the leaks that are coming out with Nike and what Virgil has been able to do and what Virgil's been able to work on. People are trusting him and opening some doors, giving him the keys to some
100%.
Some things that normally wouldn't happen, because I feel like he is one of the best creators. And I know Virgil well, mm-hmm. well enough to know that you won't see brand before product on anything. You'll see the product that's right to brand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I really fuck with his, you know, mentality when it comes to that. And Virgil's been around for a minute, but I've always felt this way about him, because if you have conversations, he was in my office. We had like a 6-hour meeting in my office with no bathroom breaks. It was just like speaking about the culture, the experience that people mm-hmm. have in the shop, what people are looking for, how people touch and feel things. It's like, yo, I have like the utmost respect for that dude, man.
It's crazy. I spoke to someone internally at Nike, and they said that he is single-handedly, with his current designs that have been leaking that you've seen, yeah. he's changing the way that those designers up there are looking at shoes. Like,
yes. Which is insane for a brand, not in a negative way, but it's insane mm-hmm. that a brand like Nike.
Exactly.
That doesn't come anymore established.
Best of the best. The best of the best. Wow. He's changing the way that they're looking at product and shifting it and shaping it. And I mean, if you look at those, I mean, I think the biggest one everybody's seen is those Jordan 1s. Mm-hmm. If you look at, it almost looks 3D. The swoosh is popping out at you. There's different logos and things on there that you wouldn't even expect out of a Jordan 1
yeah.
that really changed the way you look at a shoe.
No, honestly, what you're seeing is art.
Exactly.
You know, you're seeing a work of art. You know, and like
it's a pop art. It almost looks like a pop art shoe. And that's what I'm excited about in this day and age in our fashion yeah. game. I mean, guys like Fear of God, guys like Virgil.
Guys like our guests.
Guys like Kith, obviously, and Ronnie. I mean, they're putting the product and the well-made materials before the logo, before just slapping a logo on. Because at this point, these guys know they can put their logo on something and make money.
Of course.
At this point, they know they've built that type of credibility that they can do that.
Yeah.
But and to still never, be paying right. attention to the craftsmanship
yep. yeah.
it's truly a testament.
And that's the thing. It's never to be taken for granted. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So like building the logo was never like... when I opened the shop, like it was a footwear shop. Like I wanted to be the best footwear boutique in the world. I had an 800 square foot store in Soho and an 800 square foot store in Brooklyn. Wow. I left David Z. I wanted to make a living. I didn't like open this shit to like with aspirations to be more than what it was when I first opened. It wasn't, it wasn't for the money.
But that's what makes it interesting to me, Ronnie. It's like if you look at the people that are doing it right now, we've mentioned some of them, right? There are people, like, you're not a classically trained designer, right?
That's true.
To my knowledge, Virgil isn't either, to my knowledge.
No,
right?
I don't think so, and I don't think he would tell you that he was.
But here's my thing, but hold that thought. But you guys are not only at, Bergdorf's, you guys are getting windows.
1,000%, exactly.
And, like, how you were talking about the 90s era hip-hop,
yeah.
you may be too close to it, you may be in the forest and only see trees, like, to, like, really look at it, like, take a step back and look at it. I think we're in the golden age.
Right.
We really are.
Of like our what fashion means to our culture. And you obviously play a really big role in it. I don't know if like that's hit home to you, but like the fact that guys like Virgil are getting not just in Bergdorf, which is crazy, are getting windows in Bergdorf. Sure.
It's hard to see because we're living in it. We're directly in the trenches. Like how much I don't want to say didn't appreciate them, but when Jay was hot, when Nas was hot, when Biggie was hot, we didn't understand how crazy this era was when Nas was hot, because...
I understood it because I was so...
You were entrenched in it.
I was, and so were you.
Yeah, 1,000%. You know,
but like, we were enjoying it so much. I was having a blast. We didn't know that time could end.
I still remember being in the backseat of my mother's car and hearing the helicopter in the beginning of that Noriega song.
Stop. Wow. Stop. That's that fucking...
And I'm like, what is this? I'm getting goosebumps, man.
You said, what is
Pharrell,
this?
Yo, Pharrell, yo, the
he
Neptunes.
Said, you found Manuel Noriega?
He in the Philippines.
In the Philippines.
He got a mansion. Yo, and the thing is... No one has ever heard a beat like that in their lifetime
before
that shit came out.
Never.
And that's why Pharrell is the GOAT. Off of that alone.
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying? But to go back to P's point, you know, It's a crazy it is a crazy era and a crazy time, you know, and you know, to have evolved the way that we evolved, sometimes like I sit there and think about it, it's like it's really crazy, man. And you know, it's to build the following that we have built, you know, but what's crazy is like people don't know how involved and how much time I spend on every last detail, you know, to make sure that this shit is fucking perfect, man. Like, this Bergdorf collection is about to drop, and I've been teasing it and obviously posting it on my gram, but like...
Crazy?
Yo, this shit is crazy, bro. Yo, it's... yo, it is... It's the best product that we ever made. You know, and like, people are sick of me saying that, you know, because I say it like twice a year. You know what I'm saying? But like, the truth is...
You got to get better. You evolve. Yo, it just gets better.
No, but honestly speaking, if you look at any of these garments that we created with this next Bergdorf collection that Kith produced, you know, Bergdorf didn't produce that collection or have any design input. Mm. You know, like we obviously...
They just let you rock, right?
No, we obviously... You know, we obviously let them see everything. Of course, we give them visibility.
Yeah, don't fuck up the money.
No. Of course not.
Let's be clear. They saw it.
Let's be clear. No, they saw it. They saw it. They approved it. They're going to sell it in their shop.
So they have to approve, obviously. Of course.
But to be able to make a garment, you think I'm going to make a... And the thing is, like, you know, I think that many people would have taken advantage to be in the situation that we're in. But you think I'm going to put a Bergdorf Goodman logo on something that isn't worthy? I know what the Bergdorf logo means. I was with my mother in Bergdorf Goodman when she couldn't afford anything in the building. I chopped with her for 3 hours just so she could walk out and say how much she wished she could have something. I was there for that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like those thoughts are still in my mind. I opened Bergdorf Goodman for my mother, not for me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That dinner at Bergdorf when we first opened was for my mother's
reaction.
Yo, the
look on your mom's face.
You were there for that.
The look on your mom's face. Mm-hmm.
So like, so I know where my game has to be. I know how I need to elevate my game for it to make sense. You know what I'm saying? And like, for me, it's like, just do shit for the right reasons, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all for the right reasons. And that's the thing. Like, when I send you both pieces from this collection, and you're gonna feel and see like constructions on this garment and the fabric that we were able to mill specifically for this, and the taping and the custom taping and the custom trims. Like, yo, it takes time, man. And it's like,
did you make any garments to make Pete look a little skinnier? Because he hasn't been working out a lot at all.
You crazy? I have a hoodie on. If I take this off, if I skin up right now,
you're gonna scare 14
people. 14 pack.
Crazy. I just got fitted for Ronnie's wedding. Uh-huh.
Talk about it.
Did dudes, he bring the extra tape measure for you?
Dudes measure me. I am not gonna front though. I'm gonna keep it. You know what? I'm gonna say it because it's your show. The dude measured.
Oh shit!
Here comes the real people.
On everything I love. The dude measured me. You know, he's in his computer. If I'm lying, I'm flying, because you just got your tux measured. He takes a measurement, he goes to his computer, So he's done everything, like neck, shoulders, ass, chest, stomach, thighs, the whole shit, inseam. And he's like clearly perplexed as he's looking at his computer. And I said, everything all right?
I'm not sure how these measurements are adding up.
The man said, these measurements can't be right. I didn't ask a follow-up question. I said, hey, man, I got all day, man. Do what you got to do, dog.
Is there going to be a second fitting? Is there a second fitting?
He was perplexed. Mind you, he started the conversation with saying he's done 10,000 suits like in his career.
Yeah, he's been told doing me that, too. Same guy that George did my
I thought I was going to send you a rookie.
No, he's been doing this. And the fact that a man that's done 10,000 suits was perplexed by my measurements? Yeah, we're going to leave it at that.
Should we talk about what that is? The suit situation, the wedding situation.
I think it's only right.
Nah, on a show, no doubt. So me and Tommy Hilfiger got together.
see what this guy does.
The funny part is he's not kidding.
No, it's not a joke at all. This is definitely for real.
So Tommy and I.
No, let me tell a story. First Tommy of all, hold up. We're at a dinner, right? And RF goes, yo, I got to tell you something. I was like, what? He goes, I got great news. I'm like, what? He's like, you know, I had that meeting with Tommy today, right? And I'm like, Tommy Hearns?
Tommy Boy Records?
Tommy from Power? Like, who are you talking about?
Yo, Tommy Mottola? Who? What? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, nah, Hilfiger. I'm like, yo, come on, man. Yo. Okay, you have your meeting with Tommy.
Yo, so after my meeting with Tommy, right?
Yeah, so I can't even say that right.
Yeah, so after I shits on the bitch, right? Now, tell you. So after my meeting with Tommy, actually during the meeting with Tommy, he was nice enough to want to collaborate on the suits for all of the groomsmen, including my suit for the wedding. And we have a nice lineup for the groomsmen, man. I mean, obviously including you two.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's going to be a great time. But, you know, Tommy agreeing to, like, you know, work with me on the suits was a big deal. So I think the world will really like what they see. Mm-hmm. Come that time,
I'm gonna bring my own photographer. I know you might have one. That I'm gonna bring my own just for me because I know how I'm looking. Now, Tommy,
Timmy's there, man.
Oh, Timmy. Yeah. Timmy's also, there. I have my own photographer.
There you go.
What up, Timmy?
Yo, 13th
so ridiculous.
Obviously, yo, the crew. Let me tell you, man.
It's gonna be
you
fun,
take
man.
These groomsmen together, like you take our whole crew together, and you just break it down. I mean, if the world was coming to an end and they needed to, like, you know. Put some people in the bunker, you know, put different types
there.
Of people
we're all there.
In the bunker with different, you know, with different professions.
We're all there.
Yeah, I think it would be perfectly fine.
Can you talk about the footwear for the wedding or you want to hold?
Now we're
going to
hold back on that one.
We're going to hold back on that one.
All right, let me ask you. We talked about New York.
Yes, sir.
We've talked about how much, you know, your regular kid from Queens, self-made, you know, really a part of the culture, bringing it full circle.
Yes, sir.
What's it feel like to check the gram or follow your favorite blog or whatever the case may be and see people like this gentleman, Victor Cruz wearing Kith, LeBron James wearing Kith, you know, actors that you didn't see it to.
You, Paul
I was going to save myself
Paul
for last.
Rivera.
I didn't want to.
Flourishing in the uninterrupted Kith hoodie right
you,
now.
I see you.
I didn't want to make
this
about me.
I don't even have that color, yo. Did you just get that? That's new.
I didn't want to make this about me.
That's crazy. that's crazy.
No, but what's that feel? Do you still get that rush? Like, oh, shit. Like, that's LeBron James. That's Victor Cruz. Yo, you know, like.
Honestly, I don't even know how to explain the feeling, you know, and Vic, I'm sure that you can relate, you know, like for me, it was, you know, Coach Nicklerio from Cardozo, when I went to visit the basketball team last week for dinner, he asked me the same thing. And I told him, I was like, he asked me the same thing. He was like, yo, how does it feel to me? And I was like, Ron, I don't even know. I'm so like caught up in the work flow in wanting to one up everything that I've done before. That, like, I can't even sit back and celebrate or, like, you know, chalk up the win. I can't even, I don't have any time.
Yeah.
I don't have any time to do that. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm so, anytime I sit down with you guys and I talk about it, like, you just reminding me right now is making me think about it. I don't usually have the luxury to think about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really crazy. And I'm so grateful. You know, I'm really grateful to have the team that I have. And that's what I'm most proud of, is being able to put the team together. And to be able to say, like, hey, I put the brand together. Kith is something that I was able to, like, put together from a branding standpoint and from a retail standpoint for people to be able to come into the store. People come in, but the manager just told me today that, yo, like, 10 to 15 people a day come with suitcases from the shop to the shop from the airport. The first stop they're making from the airport
is Kith
with their suitcase. Or the last stop they're hitting before they go to the airport is Kith with their suitcases. So, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm humbled, and I try not to get hung up on anything because, like, where I'm going to take this thing, I just want to maximize the potential of what it could be without having to ruin, without growing it too much, or, you know, managing and saying no to things is like a daily routine, just so I just, like, maximize the potential of the brand, but in a tasteful way, you know?
My favorite part is that not only do these celebrities, for lack of a better term, I hate that word, but not only are they wearing the product, but they're proud of it.
Yeah.
Before they even put it on, they post it. They put, thank you, Ronnie, thank you. I ran into Steve Aoki at the MTV Movie Awards. I'm sitting down. I look at him. What's on his feet? Volcano Gel Light 3s. Yeah. At the movie awards. Wow. At the movie awards, dog. And then we proceed to the after party, and he's on stage just tearing it apart with this EDM movement. The guy, just to talk about Steve Aoki for a second, the guy has a minute and a half intro before he even touches any DJ equipment on there, on the stage.
He's a fucking
dog.
An intro on himself?
A visual. No, like a visual intro.
Let's not get it twisted. Steve Aoki is the GOAT of that shit.
1,000%.
Okay.
Man, we got to get an intro budget at Uninterrupted.
We definitely got to get an intro budget. We don't have a minute.
Like, I need like pyro.
I'm saying we. This is my
what's
show.
What's happening? What's up with the intro?
I mean, it's just some xylophones and like, and then like my voice. Like, that's it. There's nothing else. There's
yo,
nothing
how does else. It go? How does it go? Tell
it's me. Like, ding, 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 ding. Yo, what up? I was like, what? I heard it the other day. I was like, let me listen to the first podcast. We lit out here. Oh, I hear ring, ding, ding, ding.
You know what? You know
like,
what? Hold
who
up,
was
hold
that?
Up, hold up. Hold up, hold up. Let me call. I want to call Steve Aoki on the phone a friend real quick.
Can you phone a friend
right
now?
Let's see if Steve Aoki can give you the new intro.
No, hold up. This is what we're going to do. Hold up. We're going to play a game before we get up out of here.
Okay.
All right. Don't call him.
No. We're going to play a game.
Okay.
We're going to do this on every show every time we have a guest.
Okay.
Get on the phone the most popping person you can get on your
the
phone.
The one person.
And it can't be your fiance.
The most
get like celeb popping hot. It might be Steve. Who can
and
you
if
call?
They answer,
if they
nah,
answer,
I can't. I cannot have it be Steve now that I said it was
okay,
gonna be Steve.
Besides Steve, because you said it was him. Whoever's in your phone book, who can you get on the phone right now?
Damn.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's gonna be a new thing we're gonna
Ooh.
Do. Every
okay.
guest we have.
Okay.
Get Done. In your phone book.
Say no more.
All right, let me make a phone call. All right, hold up.
Let's see who he comes up with, ladies and gentlemen.
Hold up, let's see.
He's going through the Rolodex. We have to see if they answer.
Hold up. Let me think about
he's
this.
Thinking. He's thinking. He's going through the mental
right,
Rolodex.
Hold on.
What you guys can't see is he went to press a button. He's like, no, let me think.
No. He typed the whole name. He typed the whole name and then went back. Hold up.
Wait, but what's the convo? What's the context?
We just want to see, you know, your reach.
Yo. I'm on this podcast.
Just wanted to shout you
I had
out.
To make one
they
call.
Asked me to call someone that was fam that I fuck with. Like, and I'm reaching out to you.
See,
and it could be short. That's it.
That's it.
You know what? And I'm going to make this call. Like, it's not going to be the celebrity status that you guys think it is.
Whoever,
but it's on the respect tip.
Okay.
All right, hold up a second.
They got to answer now. You done prefaced it like that.
Yo, I'm not sure they're going to. How are they? It's 10:06. All right, fuck it. Let's try it.
Let's see.
They're probably right, on the West Coast.
Put it on speaker.
Right, on the East Coast.
Okay, East Coast.
Don't tell us who it is.
Hold up. Right. I don't think he's going to pick up. It's late. Let's see.
I suggest you work on it too, because we're coming to you next. By the way,
but I'm. This is my show.
Oh shit!
Here's, I'm sorry. The person
don't let the phone. Don't let the number play.
So, okay, that was Steve Stout.
Ooh, okay, I rock with Stout.
All right. The reason why I had dinner with him two nights ago.
Stout.
Beat him.
I'm surprised he's not at a dinner right now.
That's probably why he didn't answer the phone.
He's
at 100%. A dinner.
He has 4-hour dinner.
He's at a dinner meeting every night of the week. But two nights ago, that was me at the dinner meeting. We played backgammon. I won.
Okay.
And
was there money involved?
Hold up. You beat him in backgammon?
I beat him in backgammon.
Because he be talking like he's MJ.
I know. And he's probably getting mad that I'm putting him on blast like this. But yeah, there was no money involved.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I beat him in backgammon. And to be honest, it went down to the last roll, and he's pretty nasty at backgammon, man.
Really?
You can play?
And I'm Mediterranean, so like,
It's what
I do.
Speaking of what you do, you're up, homie. Your phone's right there next to you.
This is my show.
That's exactly
man.
Why you should do
let's
it.
Go, let's go.
My
let's do
show.
It. Let's go.
Let's Y'all do it. Forcing me to do this right now?
Yeah. Big homie? No. Big homie? Big homie?
Who are you going to call, Victor Cruz?
Don't do this. Don't
who
do this.
Are you going to call?
Y'all are crazy
this
for this.
This is a great game.
It is a pretty good game.
Who are we going to call?
Yeah, this is too much, man.
And I'm over here, by the way, so don't try calling me. I'm good.
Stop calling me. I'm not picking up. Stop calling me.
Yo. Who's calling? Oh, this Victor. I'm good right now.
Where are you going with it, Vic? Where are you going with it?
Go with this, man.
Where are you going with it?
Who do I even speak to on a daily basis?
Now, listen, man. It's your show, man. You wanted the show, right? You wanted the spotlight. You demanded your name is 10 times bigger than mine on the fly. Like, it's your show, man. Who are you calling?
Okay, let me see if my guy answers the phone here. It's got to be on speaker, and this is his number, I believe. I was just texting him the other day.
Don't tell us who it is.
Nope, I'm not. I'm gonna just call him right now.
Put it on speaker.
Jesus Christmas.
Vic, what's up?
Oh, yo, my boy didn't even let it. Hey, Fab, I'm on my podcast right now. They asked me to call one person that I rock with that I can call on the spot and answer the phone. And you didn't even let the phone ring, my brother. I appreciate you.
Nah, that's how you do it. You know what I'm saying? I said, my man Vic calling. You know what I mean? I kind of sense this phone call. It ain't
exactly.
I said, my boy need me. You know what I mean? Like, my spidey senses just started tingling. I just picked up the phone and he was calling. You know what I mean?
He knew it was real. Yo, Fab, I appreciate you, brother.
Fab, put it in the next track, yo. Put it in the next track.
We got Ronnie Fieg on the show, too, man.
Oh, what's up, Ronnie up there?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Shout out to my boy Ronnie for providing a couple tour threads for me. I'm still on tour.
I saw you in the full fit. I saw you in the full fit, Fab.
You know when I go all the way. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
1,000%.
Broke it all up and, you know, split it. I'm gonna go all the way for my boy Ronnie. Like, you know what I mean?
That's what's up, yo, Fab. I appreciate you.
Asics, everything.
Where you at right now? What part of where you at in the tour right now?
I'm in Seattle right now.
Seattle.
Ooh, that's what's up. That's what's up. I appreciate you, my brother.
Rainy vibes.
Just straight overcast over there every day.
Yeah.
Yo, have a good show out there, Fab. I appreciate you, my brother. And I'll see you when you come back around New York.
Yes, sir.
All right, easy.
Y'all be safe.
You too.
Damn, making me look like a cornball out here, straight up.
Spice your show. That's why your show.
God damn. Yo, Steve, man, I'm about to holler at you, yo. Making me look like a cornball. But I will say this, though. Yo, shout out to Fab.
Fab is a real one,
yo,
man. A real one.
Fab has been around and kept it real all along the way. He has adapted as well, but in his own way, and we can still respect him for who he is. And, yo, shout out to Fab for 1,000%. Everything, man.
Shout out to Fab for answering. It didn't even ring.
Yo, it didn't even ring. He was like,
I was like, hello? I was like, what?
She was like, hello? Yo, what up, Vic?
That's crazy. Yo,
I can't think of a better way to end the show, man.
I mean, that's the way to end it right there. No better way. Victor Cruz on top. It's my show. So, first of all, I want to thank my brother, our family, P, Ronnie Fieg, for being on the show.
Yes, sir.
We got a little bit of money now. Our microphones are clear. We're out here, headphones. We're good to go.
Yo, we got, you know how I know we got, every time I look that way, I left my glasses at home. It's like all the ice. I'm looking at this shit, and it's like, dog, it's a lot
real
of
chunky,
ice.
Real chunky.
It's a lot
I don't
of
know if
ice.
You can hear that on the joint, but I'm just blessed, man. I'm blessed to have friends like y'all. I'm blessed to have this show on Uninterrupted where I can speak my mind,
yes, sir,
and just talk the way I want to talk, man. So I appreciate y'all. It's been the Victor Cruz Show. Another fantastic episode in the books. P, you got anything before we go?
Just happy to be here, man. You know why I'm here.
Exactly. That's the correct answer.
Thanks for having me.
That's the correct answer.
Thanks for having me out here, Vic.
Of course. Of course. Of course. Until the next time, Victor Cruz Show, and we out of here.
Peace.
Later.